Yeah, so today we're talking about Jephthah. I know that many of you guys are very familiar with him, right? Right? No? Well, he's one of the judges, and God uses him in a great way. God uses him to do great things. In fact, he's the one who helped free Israel from 18 years of Ammonite oppression. And Jephthah lived in a very crazy time. It was a time where basically everyone was doing whatever they wanted, whatever they thought was right, because there was no king at the time. So you can imagine, there's no laws, there's no justice, there's no standards. It's just people doing whatever they think is right at that time. But in some ways, that sounds familiar to things we experience today. You know, people doing whatever they feel is right. You know, they're saying whatever feels good, do it. You know, you have your own truth. Your own truth is relative, so you have your own truth. So this is kind of the time that Jephthah is one of the judges. And so we've been going through Heroes of the Faith, the Hall of Faith, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. And so before we do these Man Up series, the people that are going to be speaking choose different leaders that they are going to speak about. So I think I drew the short end of the stick, and so I get to speak on Jephthah. But we're going to learn about him, and we're going to learn how we can apply truths from his life to our life. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, just want to prove that Jephthah is there. Verse 32 says this. It says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." All these great accomplishments shows us that God blessed his people. And God blessed his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And these men that are mentioned were men of integrity. They were men that were used by God. And really, he took their weaknesses, and it says right there, he took their weaknesses and he made them strengths. And we're going to see that in Jephthah's life and principles that we can learn from Jephthah's life. And the first principle is this, and you have this on your sheet. I want you to follow along. Here's some principles from Jephthah's life. First of all, Jephthah refused to be shackled by his past. He would not let his past determine his future. And so we read about him in Judges chapter 11. And so we'll have it up on the screen. We're just going to go along just the first part of chapter 11. You're going to need to read the last part of chapter 11 and 12. But I'm going to end in the middle of chapter 11. But we're going to go along in chapter 11 of Judges. So chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. And Gilead had fathered Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, 'You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman.' So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, and worthless men gathered around Jephthah, and they went wherever he did." Let me stop right there. Jephthah is a man of character, and you're going to see that his character gets developed through difficulties that he had to go through. And first of all, isn't that just a principle of life, that our character gets developed when we go through difficult times? Maybe you've even experienced that in your life, where as you go through difficult times, as you go through challenging times, God uses those difficulties in your life to shape you, to form you, to create character in you. And I know that some of you, I know I've been there where you say, you know, I wish I could be used by God. I wish I could be used by God. I wish I could do great things for God. but I've messed up too many times. I don't come from the right family. I haven't attended church long enough. I didn't go to seminary. This or that, all these different reasons why you think that you can't be used by God. But I want to tell you today that God can overcome circumstances in your life, and God can overcome your difficulties. And we're going to see that as we look at Jephthah. As we look at his life, his brothers ran him off from home. He didn't even know who his mother was. She was a prostitute. He was an illegitimate child. There's no way, no way God could use him, right? Do you think that you're in that same category? Do you think that there's no way that you could be used by God? Maybe you think that you're too old to be used by God. Maybe you think that your best days are behind you, and you spend more time thinking about what you could have done or should have done, regrets, thinking about the past, more than thinking, having a vision and thinking about how God can use you now and into the future. Because God wants to use you. God's never done using you. And so I started thinking about, in that way, I started thinking about different people through history. One of my favorite U.S. presidents of all time is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was 69 when he became president. And he lived a remarkable, remarkable life. You know, when he was a child, when he was a teenager, he was a lifeguard. And that experience as a lifeguard had a profound impact on his life. And then he became an actor. And for the most part, he was kind of a struggling actor. You know, didn't really have this flourishing career. Finally, he started getting into politics. And he's got into politics, his political views really transformed. He went from being more liberal Democrat to being more conservative Republican. Eventually, he ran and was elected governor of California. And then eventually becomes president of the United States. He was 69 years old when he was elected president. And that was a big deal. Around 1980, that was a big deal when, you know, he may be too old to be president. Now, even since then, we've had a couple presidents much older than that. But it was a big deal. But he defeated Jimmy Carter, and then he ran against Walter Mondale. And when he ran against Walter Mondale, there was this really crucial debate. You might remember this. And they were questioning Reagan's age, like he's, you know, too old to be president. He's starting to lose it. And he was, you know, 73 at the time. And Walter Mondale was bringing up his age as an issue. And the moderator questioned him on that. And Ronald Reagan, as only he could, you know, he said, well, something like, I'm not going to use my opponent's youth and inexperience against him. And everyone laughed, including Mondale laughed. And it was like, he got it. He won. And he won that election in a landslide. And so he was president mainly, you know, through his mid-70s. And he restored the economy. The economy was booming. He toppled Soviet communism. You know, that was a big thrust of his administration. He built up the military, spent on the space program, just did so many remarkable things at that stage in his life. At that stage of his life, he had great purpose. He had great value. You've heard of the artist Michelangelo, most famous artist of all time. He was 66 years old when he completed the Sistine Chapel. Did you know that he was 88 years old when he painted the Pauline Chapel? 88 years old. Benjamin Franklin, of course, you've heard of Benjamin Franklin. He was 78 years old when he invented the bifocal lens. He was 81 years old when he signed the U.S. Constitution. You are never too old to be used by God. That never disqualifies what you can do for God. Your age doesn't eliminate you. And your past doesn't eliminate you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You've done this, you've done that, and you think, now I cannot be used by God. You can always be used by God. Jephthah refused to be shackled by his past. Second thing about him is Jephthah refused to be shaped by his present. He wasn't shaped by his past, he wasn't shaped by his present. He's driven from his home, he's driven from his family. And so he's now an outcast from society. So now nobody's gonna take him seriously. Nobody's looking to him for leadership. Yet he rose to great heights. He leads the Israelite people. God uses him in a very important, powerful way, because this is the way that God works. We know this, guys, because we see this throughout the scripture. God uses unlikely people. God uses some of the most unlikely people to be heroes of the faith. One of my favorites is Joseph. You know, Joseph, we've talked about Joseph. I think I was the one that talked about Joseph. Joseph in Genesis, you know, no one has more written about them in Genesis than Joseph and his profound life. You know, Joseph had a dream that his brothers would be bowing to him, and they hated him, and they threw him into a pit, sold him into slavery. And it looks like that's the end of Joseph, and he ends up being a slave. And then he's falsely accused and gets thrown into prison. After he was falsely accused, he gets thrown into prison, and it looks like that's the end of Joseph. But God always had a plan for his life. God always had a purpose for his life. No matter what Joseph went through, God still had a plan and a purpose for his life. And he ends up being the second in command in all of Egypt. Unlikely, an unlikely story. You know, I think of King David. And we know King David is the greatest king that Israel ever had. A great, you know, mighty warrior king. But before that, he was a shepherd boy. And, you know, there was nothing in his outward appearance that showed that he would be this great king that he became. But that's the way God works. God uses unlikely people. So again, some of you think that you cannot be used by God. But God is greater than the odds that are stacked against you. God is greater than all the sin that you've ever committed and repented of. So what is God asking you to do? What are the needs around you that God is asking you to meet, where God is asking you to work? Are you willing? Are you willing to be obedient to where God wants you to go and do what God, be obedient to what God wants you to do? So Jephthah refused to be shaped by his present situation. And then third, Jephthah had confidence in the face of great disaster. He had confidence. So when people or situation was coming against him, he still was able to have confidence. Look at verse 4 of our story in Judges chapter 11. Now it came about after a while that the sons of Ammon fought against Israel. When the sons of Ammon fought against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. They came to him. They came to him because they knew that he was a mighty man. He was confident, and he had God's anointing on him. Go on to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And they said to Jephthah, 'Come and be our leader, that we may fight against the sons of Ammon.' But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, 'Did you not hate me and drive me from my father's house? So why have you come to me now when you were in trouble?'" Now you're coming to me. Why are you coming to me now? Jephthah asked a good question. You know, basically, I wasn't good enough before, but now you need me. Jephthah had confidence, despite what people would say about him or what was coming against him. I think that's a great spiritual truth. Great people have great confidence no matter what. No matter what is said, no matter what is said to them or about them, they have a great confidence. I was reading the story of Dr. Seuss. Raise your hand if you ever read a Dr. Seuss book. You had a Dr. Seuss book read to you when you were a kid, and now you've read that book or a Dr. Seuss book to a child or a grandchild. Is your hand. Wow, what an impact. I remember having Dr. Seuss read to me when I was a kid, and then I know that I've read Dr. Seuss to my kids. You know his actual name was Theodore Geisel, was his actual name. He was born in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1903, and he had a dream to be an author and to be an illustrator. That was a dream that he had from a very young age. But he didn't get a lot of encouragement about that dream. In fact, in high school, he was in a high school art class, and he was, you know, drawing in this art class, and the art teacher took him aside and said, Theodore, I just have to tell you, I just don't see art in your future. You're not a very good artist. Trying to discourage him. She said, you'll never learn to draw. Well, eventually he wrote and he illustrated a book called And to Think I Saw It All on Mulberry Street. Remember that one? That, do you remember, 1936 is when that book was written. When he wrote that book and tried to get it published, 43 publishers turned it down. Just to have the courage to go to that many publishers and say, please publish my book. 43 times his book was turned down. Finally, someone picked it up and it did sell a few thousand copies. And it's interesting because in May 1954, Life magazine ran an article that someone had written about illiteracy of children in America. There was starting to be a concern that American children weren't keeping up with the rest of the world. They weren't reading as fast or you know, writing as well as people all around the world. So Life magazine wrote this article about the need for children to begin to up their standards and to get better at reading. And then in 1957, Theodore Geisel wrote a book titled The Cat in the Hat. The Cat in the Hat, and it sold 500,000 copies. And today, Dr. Seuss has sold more than 210 million books. Easily could be, you know, the most successful children's author of all time. They, even in their, in our schools, they have Dr. Seuss Day and Dr. Seuss Month. They celebrate his writing because he's inspired, so many children to read. Why was he successful? Why was he so successful? Because he had a confidence that he knew that he had a talent and he had a purpose, and it didn't matter what anyone else said. He knew deep down intrinsically that he had a talent and he had a purpose. And that's the way we have to be. No matter what comes at us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what's been said to us, that we have this deep intrinsic value. Fourth thing about Jephthah is Jephthah was rewarded for his confidence. Go to verse 8 of Judges 11 on the screen. It says, the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, for this reason, we have now returned to you that you may go with us and fight the sons of Ammon and become our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me back to fight against the sons of Ammon and the Lord gives them up to me, will I become your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is witness between us. Be assured, we will do as you have said. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. So, you know, Jephthah is basically saying, now you recognize me. Now you want me to make, you want me to be the head. Now you want me to be the leader. Now you trust me to be the leader. So I believe that with us, God wants to use each of us in a real mighty way. But in order for God to use us in the way that he wants to use us, we have to fight against ourselves, our own temptations, our own sins, our own challenges and struggle, because we all have it. We all have those struggles that we have to fight against, our own character defects, our own temptations that come against us, our own anger and laziness and bad habits and addictions, and maybe it's marriage problems or family problems or addictions, pornography or different addictions that we might have. And we have to fight and we have to gain victories in these areas in our life and then grow and allow God to grow us and change us so that he can use us. Just like Jephthah. God used Jephthah and God wants to use you. So Jephthah is rewarded for his confidence. Because Jephthah, the fifth point is that Jephthah knew the resources of his confidence. He knew the resources of his confidence. Did you get that? Here you go. Look at verse 11 again. Verse 11 says, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words. And I want you to notice this part. And maybe when you're reading this later, underline this: before the Lord. Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord. I think that's a key line at Mizpah. He went to the Lord in prayer. Basically, Jephthah says, before I go to battle, I got to do this before the Lord. I got to spend time before the Lord. I've got to pray. He understood that faith and prayer go together. Just like we have to understand that faith and prayer go together. And so we have to spend time with God. If we want to grow in our faith and we want to do what God is calling us to do, we have to spend time with him. We have to have a quiet time. We have to have a time that we set aside to spend with God before him. And I hope you have that time where you speak to him and you listen to him and you spend time in his word. And then throughout the day, we commune with him. We talk with him. We ask for help along the way. We ask for guidance. We have to have that time with God. And that's why God was able to use Jephthah. He was one of the judges in a very crucial time. And he helped Israel be free from the Ammonites. And I think he teaches us about our own lives and principles that we can apply to our own life. He refused to be shackled by his past. He refused to be shaped by his current situation. He had confidence in the face of great disaster. He was rewarded for his confidence, and he knew the resources of his confidence.